turn into Luke chapter number 19. I want us to look at a very familiar story in the Bible. It's about a man called Zacchaeus. A lot of us see Zacchaeus as a little Sunday school. I want to bring out some things in Luke chapter number 19 about Zacchaeus that God showed me. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. It said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." I wonder this morning, did we come seeking Jesus to see who he really was? Zacchaeus was. It says on down, it said, "And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." I noticed a lot of times, and I entitled this, "When You're Out on a Limb." When you're out on a limb. A lot of times you want God to do something. I noticed a lot of times in the Bible you'll see characters in the Bible like Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel and he went up against those 450 prophets of Baal and all those guys, you know, there was the prophets of Jezebel, you know, and they tried to call down fire from heaven. They tried to call upon their gods and he couldn't do anything. And old Elijah, he went out on a limb. He said, "Why don't you just put some water on it?" After they got done and they cut themselves to pieces, Elijah said, "Why don't you just put some water on there?" You know, the first thing he did, he said he restored an altar there. And then he was able to do that. And then Elijah said, "Put some water on it. Keep putting," and he did it three times. He put four barrels of water on it until there was a trench around it. And then he called down fire from heaven. A lot of times you'll see things in the Word of God where people went out on a limb. They wanted to go a little further, and they had to go a little further than other people to get God to see them. Zacchaeus was doing that. I was reminded of the story in Mark chapter number 2, where it talked about the man that was sick of the palsy, and they said they couldn't get him in for the crowd was large. And they said they lifted the roof off the house to get him in there to see Jesus. And Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I want to look at four or five quick things out of here in Luke chapter number 19 about Zacchaeus that God showed me and see what he's got for us in his word today. The first thing I noticed, when you're out on a limb, you'll look for the Savior. If you look down in verse number 3, it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." I wonder today, did we come seeking Jesus? Did you truly come seeking to see what Jesus was going to do? I was talking to a guy this week, and he works with me, and I said, you know, church life is kind of like schoolwork. It's kind of like it all goes better when you do your homework. Right, yeah. See, the stuff at the church, a lot of times we come in here, this ain't it. Yeah. We come in here to worship God. But I tell you where it gets good is when you're doing your homework. Right. When you're at home reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, praying, you know, staying clean. That's when we're actually doing what we're supposed to be doing. Zacchaeus was a rich man. The Bible said he was chief among publicans. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. No doubt he had heard, as Jesus was passing through Jericho, that there was a man called blind Bartimaeus. You'll see that in the latter part of Luke chapter number 18. And he had probably heard how God had restored Bartimaeus' sight. And he had heard all the good things that Jesus had done. And he wanted to go see him, who he really was. It reminds me of when we was a little kid, you know, when we used to play hide and go seek. We didn't have Nintendos. We didn't have all the electronics these kids have today. All we had was what we could come up with. And we played hide and seek. And I remember we always used home bases like the front porch, you know, my neighbor's house or our house, wherever we was playing, you know, and all of us wanted to go hide and nobody wanted to go seek. It's still like that today, isn't it? Everybody wants to go hide, but we really don't want to go seek. You know, and I was okay if I was the seeker, as long as I had my neighbors there with me, because I could outrun them. You know, I was bigger than they was, and I knew I could outrun them, so I didn't mind being the seeker that much. But I tell you what I didn't like it when somebody could outrun me. You know why? Because I was going to be that seeker for several times, time and time again. And I find ourselves in the church house a lot of times. We're not really looking for the Savior. We're not seeking Him out to see who He really was. Zacchaeus was a man who was seeking Him out to see who He was. If you got your Bible, turn over to Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11. Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And here it is. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." I wonder if we're looking for that blessed hope. Paul was writing to Titus, and you know, he was teaching him things that was going to come. And Paul thought surely that Jesus would come in his day. And here we are later on. We're still looking for that blessed hope. I wonder today, if you look for that hope to come back today, would you be all right? Zacchaeus was a man that was troubled in this passage. He had heard all the stuff that Jesus had done, and he was looking for Jesus. We're going to find out later on that Jesus was actually looking for him. But right now, Zacchaeus said, "I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get around this crowd, and I'm going to see if I can figure out who he really is." He was looking for the Savior. The book of Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1, you don't have to turn there. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." It says, "Set your affections on things of the above and not on things of the world." I wonder where we got our heart today. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I remember when I was a little kid and we got to go do stuff, you know, my mom and dad would take us to Six Flags. You know, every once in a while we didn't have a lot of money, we didn't go a lot of places. And I could my mom and dad would tell us where we was going, I could imagine myself already there. You know why? Because I had my affections set on those things. You know, and I mean, look at us today. I mean, do you got your heart set on going to heaven? You got your heart set on going to do the things of God? Zacchaeus was a man that was looking for the Savior. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 10, talks about Abraham. You don't have to turn there either. It said, "He looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." I'm looking for that city today. There's a hope coming back. Luke chapter 12, verse 43 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing." I don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes back. I was talking this week with Brother Kevin, who was there at the campground, and I said, "Well, we've been taught here, we're going to bear a bigger judgment at the judgment seat of Christ than somebody that doesn't know it. The Bible says better to not have been taught it than to do it and turn away from it." And today we ought to be looking for the Savior. The second thing we'll go on through, it says, look down in verse number, the second half of verse number 3, it said, "And he could not for the press because he was little of stature." And God gave me this point. He said, "When you're out on a limb, I notice you'll become little in your own sight." Zacchaeus was a rich man. The Bible said he was chief among publicans. No doubt Zacchaeus was well known. He was a man that people all through Jericho probably knew him and knew exactly what he did for a living. They knew him. The Bible said he was a publican, you know, which was a guy that, you know, was a religious guy, you know. And I noticed that the Bible said this, that he was a little of stature. A lot of times in Sunday school we learned he was a little bitty man. I looked up that word, that little of stature. In the Greek it means helikios. And what it means, it says in maturity or in size. Zacchaeus knew he was going to have to do something special to get Jesus' attention that day. He said he first thing he did is, you notice, he ran before. He got out in front of that crowd. I noticed in the church house there's some of them that's getting out in front of that crowd. You know, I noticed there's some that's going a little further. There's some that's doing a little more. And the reason they are, they want to go out there and see where Jesus are. They've been out on a limb, or they're out on a limb. They want to see what he can do for them. And a lot of times in my life, when I'm not out there in the front, It's because I stayed back, and it puts me out there on the limb. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to get out there and do something special. I'm going to make sure that Jesus notices me. And he did. He went up there and climbed up in that sycamore tree. But I noticed he was little in his own sight. No doubt those people, Zacchaeus was a well-known man. They'd seen him several times, you know, maybe collecting money from people or whatever, you know. And he had to do, and no doubt he was going to have to drop some of his pride so Jesus would notice him. All those people around him said, look at Zacchaeus up there. I wonder why he's out there running out in front of us. You know, why don't he stay back with the crowd? Just kind of like Bartimaeus, the Bible said he cried the more. You know, and embarrassed all the people around him because he was out there crying the more. Zacchaeus was a man that ran before. He got up in the sycamore tree so he could see who Jesus really was. And no doubt all those people that he had been hanging around all his life said, look at Zacchaeus, I wonder what he's doing. He looks like he's a crazy man. He's a fool for climbing up in that tree. He became little in his own sight. John chapter 3, verse number 30 said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I've thought about that in my own life. You know, there's things that God has taken from us that's burning up on us. If you're saved today, there should be stuff in this world that's burning off of you. And John said that he must increase, but I must decrease. That decrease depends a lot on you. The increase is all about him, but the decrease is all about you. And he'll never increase until you decrease. In my own life, I've been lifted up with pride. And we all have this thing called pride. And God hates pride. There are many times and many examples in the Bible where God gave people and they would lift up in pride and it brought their own destruction. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 16, verse 18, says, pride goeth before destruction and haughty spirit before fall. And James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. If you do any reading or anything in the book of Luke chapter number 18 before we got here, that was the part where he told them, you must become as little children to inherit the kingdom of God. I wonder what we did. When I was a little kid, you know what? I didn't mind asking my mom and daddy for nothing. I mean, if I was a baseball bat and it was $400, I said, mom and daddy, I want that bat. I didn't say they was going to get it for me, but I told them I wanted it. A lot of times that's how we pray. We tell God what we want instead of what we need. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. I noticed in that a lot of times up in that decreasing, you know, is all with in my prayer life. I'm talking about my own self here. The things I used to pray for, I don't pray for anymore. In that thing of called decreasing, you know, I used to say, God, you know, give me this or do this for me. I need you to do this, and I'll do this. But when you start to decrease, you say, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. I want your hand to be upon it. No matter what I have to do, I'll go out on a limb and I'll decrease so that you can increase. Zacchaeus was a man that was little in stature. He was a little bitty man. He ran before. All the people saw him. He did something that was special and it got Jesus' attention. And notice this. Look down in verse number 4 here, back in our text in Luke chapter number 19. When you're out on a limb, you'll look for the Savior. You'll become little in your own sight. But notice this, you'll leave your old similarities. You'll leave your old similarities. Look in verse number 4 here. It says, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus knew Jesus was coming by. He wanted to get out ahead of him. He wanted to see what Jesus could do. You know, and a lot of times, you know, I wrote this down. I said, if you always do what you've done, you'll always get what you've always got. If you're only this thing of Christianity, you know, I was thinking about what Brother Jonathan preached here Wednesday night, and if you wasn't here, you missed a great blessing what that man preached. You know, and he's talking about our foundation was built, and it all depends on how we're building upon it. You know, and I noticed that a lot of times I see somebody get saved, and they got their foundation laid, and they got their cornerstone, the chief corner, and they don't build on it. They may be years down the road before they build on it. We ought to be building on our foundation daily. You say, when will it be complete? It won't be complete until Christ comes back or you go to the grave. But I want you to, it all matters how you build on that foundation. It's not all in how you start out. It's in how you finish. A lot of people start out good in a good race, don't they? But they don't always finish right. This thing with Christ is all about how you finish. And it's all about how you build on your foundation. You'll leave your old similarities. Zacchaeus was a man who ran before. He climbed up. Zacchaeus was a man who probably stayed back. He was probably a well-known guy, you know, with the government, you know, and people knew him, you know. But he said, I got to do something different today. I had to leave out of my old similarities, and I got to get ahead of this crowd if I want Jesus to do something before me. I wonder, in your own life, have you went out in front of Jesus so he could do something for you? You left out of your old similarities. Maybe you prayed a little longer. Maybe you read your Bible a little longer. Maybe you exhorted somebody. Maybe you did something a little different so you could get Jesus' attention. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 5. I want you to see this. Luke chapter number 5. It said, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And that's where we are a lot of times. We tell Jesus what we've been doing.
Yeah.
We don't care about what he can do. Yeah. We just worry about what we can do. You know, and Simon, you know what Simon, his job was before he became a disciple, an apostle. You know what his job was. He was a fish, wasn't he? He was like one of these guys we'd know on a lake somewhere. He knew where the fish were. I went deep sea fishing one time. You know, and the only time I've ever been, and I noticed this, those people took us out there. We didn't know where in the world we was going. All we could see was water. And I tell you what we did. We dropped that water, that line out in that ocean. And you know what? We catch a fish. And we went to another place, and we drop our line out. And if we didn't catch a fish, it was probably in a couple of minutes. You know what they was doing? They was packing us up, moving us somewhere else. You know why? They knew where those fish were. Simon was a man who knew where the fish was. He didn't go on the lake and not know where they were. He knew exactly how to cast his rod. He knew how to reel them in. He knew what bait to use. This probably wasn't his first fishing journey. But I tell you what, the Lord had made him not catch any fish that night. And it said, he went to the master and he said, we toiled all the night and taken nothing. A lot of times we're out there toiling and we're taking nothing. God's out there got great blessings for us if we just listen to him. Over in the book of John, chapter number 20, he talked about John. Peter said, I go fishing. Y'all remember that story? And Jesus said, cast on the right side and you shall find. A lot of times we're fishing from the wrong side of the boat. Jesus has got great blessings on one side of the boat, but we're all stuck on this side just to casting. And all the blessings is over here. And we just not even looking over there. But Jesus said this. Look at this. In that last part of verse number 5 there in Luke chapter number 5, he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Jesus has spoken, and then it's up to us. And he said, Jesus told him, he said, launch out. And Simon said, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. But he said this, I'll listen to you. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And he gave him a word. He said, there, and it all depends on us. It said in verse number 6, and said, when they had this done, you're never going to go any further with Jesus until you get that done, what he's told you to do. I've noticed that in my own life. I say, Lord, I want to go further. I want to leave out these old similarities. You know, maybe I'm doing a little Bible reading. Maybe I'm doing a little praying. And he said, you need to pray more. You need to launch out. You need to read more. You need to study more. And I tell you what, I won't go any further until I get that done. Brother Kenzel, he's right. A lot of times, he said God operates as a checkerboard. He'll move and he'll wait to see if you're going, what your next move was, to see if you made it, see what you're going to do, and to give you a little test. You know, and a lot of times if I don't get that done, I just stay where I'm at. And a lot of times in our churches, we find people that are what we consider fat, dumb, and happy because they've been rocked to sleep by the Word of God, you know, and sit there and say, we got it made. You know, what about other people's kids who's out in this world? I wonder if we're praying for them. You know, or people who's got family members that are lost and undone without Christ and on their way to hell. I wonder if we're reaching out to them. I wonder if the Word of God is reaching them through your life. He told Zacchaeus, he said, you're going to have to leave your old similarities. Zacchaeus ran before. He climbed up in that sycamore tree, and that probably looked crazy to half the people there. You know, a lot of times today, you know, I notice when somebody really gets truly saved, they'll get you a parking spot. You ain't got to worry about calling them on Sunday morning and say, are you going to make it there today? They'll be here. They'll be the one opening the door, turning on the air conditioner, flipping the lights on. You know why? They left out of their old similarities. You know. Go back to Luke chapter number 19. I'll throw this one in for free. Sort of say. Look down in verse number 6 there. Let's get verse number 5. He said, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I noticed this. You ain't going to be liked by all the saints. Yeah. A man that goes before and he gets out and he does the things of Christ, he runs before and everybody sees him, you're not always going to be liked by all the saints. Zacchaeus was a man who left out of his own similarities. And guess what? He wasn't liked by all the saints after that. They began to murmur. They began to see him up in that tree. And they said, I don't know why that Zacchaeus man is up in that tree. But I tell you what, he was doing something special for the Master. Look in the Acts chapter number 9. Just hold your place there. Let's go to Acts chapter number 9. I'm going to show you another man who wasn't liked by all the saints. We'll start reading in verse number 10, Acts chapter number 9, verse number 10. Y'all remember a guy named Paul? If you read Acts chapter, let's look in verse 10. I want you to see this. It says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And he said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints, to thy saints at Jerusalem, and there hath he authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. There was a man named Paul, Saul, known there. I tell you what, Saul, he had Ananias went to him. The Lord said, Ananias, go to the street that's called Straight. You know, and there's a big guy named there, Paul. He's seen you in a vision, and he received his sight. The first thing Ananias said, he said, I'm here, Lord. You know, and he said, I'll be there for you, Lord. Then he said, who is it? He said, oh, Saul of Tarsus. And he said, oh, Lord, I can't do that. He said, I've heard by this man how much evil he's done to the people that was in your name. You're not going to be liked by all the saints. But nevertheless, at thy word. If you can ever understand that, a lot of times we strike out and we want to do something. We want to launch out into the deep, you know, and God, he's all out about launching out into the deep when nothing's there. That's what he wants you to do. A lot of times you may be in here and things may be dry and God give you a verse and he wants you to testify. He wants you to launch out and you say, I don't know if I can do that, Lord. People's going to see me. Let's think about old Zacchaeus. People said, that little old man, he's running as hard as he can to get up before this crowd. He wants to see what's going on. He wants to make sure that the Lord notices him. See, a lot of times we're worried about how people's going to notice and not how the Lord's going to notice us. You know, our ways are not his ways. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget that. Paul said here, so Ananias said, Lord, I'll go do anything for you. Then all of a sudden he said, oh man, I didn't know you was going to go see old Saul of Tarsus. I guess you didn't read, Lord, in Acts chapter number 8 where he's making havoc in the church and he was taking the men and women out and hailing them. You must not have read that, Lord. You know, but God's got a story. I can tell you a story right here. I remember when I first had got saved and I was going for Christ. You know, and there was a young man that was there in Roanoke where I live, and he got in prison. He got on drugs, and he'd been in jail for some time. And he got out of jail, You know, and he heard I got saved, and he was a year older than me in school. And I said, and the Lord said, he had called me up and he said, I want you to go this singing with me. You know, and I said, all right, I'll go. You know, and then the old devil jumped on my back and he said, you can't go with this man. Everybody's going to know you. They're going to think you on drugs too. That's the first thing that went through my mind. You know, and I said, I can't do that. I can't let this brother down. I was kind of like Ananias there. I said, Lord, I'm there. I'm going to do everything you want me to do. And then he calls me up and says, you can go with me. And I said, I can't go with him. People are going to think I'm doing drugs. But I tell you what, I would have missed out on the greatest blessing of my life to see a man that just got saved in the prison. You know, I see Brother Kelly here this morning. This guy got saved in the prison. Somebody shared the gospel with him. You know, and it made his day that I would go with him. You know, and same thing with Ananias here. He made Paul's day. He touched Paul. And if you look on down, look in verse number 20 there in Acts chapter 9. It says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And it said this, but all that heard him was amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? It says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. A lot of times in our lives we think that somebody gets saved, you know, and it's just like me with this young man, how God could really use somebody. And God used that man to teach me that it ain't all about you. But I tell you what, Zacchaeus, as soon as Zacchaeus got up in that tree in Luke chapter number 19, he wasn't liked by all the saints. And here in our church, you may want to go a little further with Jesus. You may want to read a little longer. You may want to study a little longer. You may want to launch out from your old similarities. You know, you can do that. Don't worry about what we're going to think. Don't worry about what I'm going to think. And I'm not going to worry about what you think. Because if we start looking at people, I'll tell you what will happen. You get your eyes off the Savior. You get your eyes off the Master. You know, people's not always going to like you for serving Jesus. That's one of the first things I had to learn. I got saved, and there was a young man there where I worked at. I worked at the Piggly Wiggly in Roanoke. You know, and I had a guy, and it was a son, and his father, they had worked there, and his daddy was a preacher, and he was legally blind. You know, and he wanted to go to church, and I'd been inviting him to church, and his daddy wanted to come to church. And I said, I'll come by and pick you up. And every time I go by there, his son, he'd say, here comes that holy roller. I mean, he would. I mean, he'd just come up to me and say, here comes that holy roller. But I tell you what, I was more interested in seeing that guy get help. You know, if his son's not going to take him, I'll take him. You know, and that's the way we need to be. We need to find people that want to go to church. There's people out there in our communities that want to go to church that may not can. And may not have ever heard about Jesus. You may not be liked by all the saints if you do that, though. Lastly, turn back into Luke chapter number 19. In verse number 8, it said, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which is lost. I want to leave you this last one. When you're out on a limb, you also learn of the Lord's salvation. You'll learn of the Lord's salvation. I remember on April the 8th, 1998, I learned of the Lord's salvation. Amen. I was out on a limb, just like this man called Zacchaeus, not knowing which way to go, not knowing if I were to die, would I go to heaven or hell. And it was only by that, going out on a limb, that I was able to learn of the Lord's salvation. He said in verse number 9 there, he said, this day is salvation come to this house. I'm going to tell you, there was a man who went out on a limb for you guys, and me too. His name was Jesus. He went out on a limb for all mankind. Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 2 said, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. He was the branch that Zechariah prophesied about. He was the one in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21, said, she shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. And I got to study in Luke chapter number 19 here, and I got some books. I had an aunt that taught Sunday school at the First Baptist Church at East Point for nearly 20 years. She was a saved woman. They didn't have any children. And she died. She was saved all her money all her life, and she died a wealthy woman. And I noticed this whenever they was dividing up her stuff, you know, my mama and all them wanted to go up there and look at it, you know, and see what all she had, you know. And I noticed that she had some old books laying there out to the side that nobody wanted. There was books that she had used for her studying. You know, it was one of them old books, and when you opened up, it had that smell to it, you know, and the pages wasn't white anymore. They was kind of dingy around the edges, you know, where she used it. And I like taking those old, they was just going to throw those old books away. I said, give them to me. I like them old books that these old saints of God have used. And I tell you what it's got notes in it. And I began looking at that book last night, and this is what it says in that book. And it's so true in our times today. It said, one lives by dying, receives by giving, becomes first by willing to be last, forgiven by accepting condemnation, and is made secure by willingness to risk it all for the Master. Zacchaeus was one that risked it all for the Master. He was wanting to learn of the Lord's salvation. I noticed this. If you look in the latter part of that verse, he said in verse number 9, it said, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, and I thought about Zacchaeus when he was up in that sycamore tree. He was hung between heaven and hell, not knowing which way he'd go. And Jesus told him to make haste and come down. And the Bible said he received him joyfully. And he said, this day salvation has come unto this house. You know, I wonder if you've ever been hung out between heaven and hell on a limb. Have you ever been out on a limb? You know, and God's been troubling your heart. You know, and you're not knowing which way to go, not knowing what to do. But there was a God in heaven who was seeking you out. Zacchaeus was a man that didn't know who the Lord was. He ran behind, at front, and he got ahead of everybody. He climbed up in that tree wanting to know which way to go. And God had given him something. And God told him, said, make haste and come down. And salvation came to his house that day. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life where salvation has come to your house. April, I recognize it in my own life. I got saved in a funeral, and it was my brother's funeral. You know, before then I didn't know much about Jesus. You know, but I tell you what, sometimes we don't understand what limb God is going to put us on. And God had me, and I can look back on it now, there's some things that God can't show you until you get on down the road, and you'll look back on it and see His perfect plan. I didn't know His plan. On April, my brother passed away on April 6, 1998. On April 7th, I didn't know God's plan. April the 8th, He saved me. I didn't really know God's plan that day. But as I look back on it, you know, some 11 years ago, I can see His plan, how He was using that. He's putting me out on a limb where I could see Him and I could learn of His salvation. I wonder if you've ever learned of His salvation that He gives. God may be troubling you here today. I'm going to tell you, today is the day of salvation according to the Bible. And He may have you out on a limb, and that may be the very reason you're out on a limb. Not only that, you may be out on a limb going through a trial, and God wants you to... And you may need to leave out of your old similarities. You may need to get ahead of this crowd. You may need to do something special. You may need to launch out of your old similarities. You know, stuff that you always do what you do. You always get what you always got. And God wants you to move on out. You know, He may be troubling you and putting you up out on a limb just for that situation. But nevertheless, at His word, just trust in Him. That's all I got this morning. You're dismissed.